let's see. Okay, I can, starting at number one.
Yep.
God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Okay, so when he says before me, he, what is he saying?
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Other than me.
Well, there are no other gods. That's the other funny thing. They got these little statues they make, and they call them gods, but they're not.
That's it, but they call them gods.
Yeah.
And he says, don't have any other gods other than me.
Yep, don't put anybody
before me.
Anyway,
is God insecure when he says that?
Oh. He's righteous. He is.
Not insecure at all. He rules the universe. Okay? So God's not trying to be secure. He's saying, listen, any other god will lead you to separation from me and eternal damnation. So God's not trying to keep his place. He's trying to keep us from being deceived. Of course, we just talked about that. So, and he's saying, don't have any other gods other than me. So, go ahead.
You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Okay, so what is he basically saying?
Don't make no statues.
Don't make any idols. Don't make anything to worship, because our tendency is to bring God down to our level. Because it's hard to understand God until you come to know him. Because, for a thousand reasons, it's hard to relate to him. Where did God come from?
Oh, don't. My head starts to hurt when I try and think of that.
Well, he always has been. And everything we know has a beginning, right?
Yeah.
So, what our tendency is to bring God down. So what do? They find some beautiful bird
that they can
and say,
understand. Yeah.
This is going to be my God because I can see it, I can talk to it, I can touch it.
Oh.
And so what they're trying to do is bring God down to their level rather than come up to God's level.
Yeah.
Okay? Because God always has been.
Yeah.
Now, you'll never understand that because everything we knew or know has a beginning.
Has a beginning, exactly.
Okay? And so we say, well, where did God come from? That's the thing. God is not like us. He always has been. Now, then we get confused because we say, yeah, but everything we know has a beginning. Okay? But with God, he always has been. There's no way, unless you try to bring him down to your level, that you'll understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know anybody or anything that doesn't have a beginning. So therefore, our tendency is, I want to have God that I can touch. So, what do? They take and carve out this beautiful, glorious, or out of silver, or gold, or wood, or whatever, and make this beautiful God to be something they can touch.
Maybe that helps them with their headaches, I don't know.
It makes them a lot poorer, probably, is what
yeah,
it does.
No doubt.
But trying to bring God down to, can you touch God? No, why not? God is every place, all the time. So that means when he's with me, he's also with you at the same time.
Yeah.
Can we understand that?
Nope.
No.
No, why? Because we are so small and so simple compared to who God is. When we try to bring him down to our level, we're going to make an idol so I can touch my God.
Well, if we could touch him, we would be dead instantly. So what, seriously.
Yeah, well, you would. But when you begin to realize what the enemy tries to do is tries to get us to bring God down to our level rather than come to know him for who he really is. And so God's telling us, listen, be careful because you're going to have a tendency, okay, to want to bring God down to your level. Don't do that.
I wonder.
Love me for who he really is. He always has been, always will be. Okay? He can be in all places at one time, He's not like us. He doesn't have to be in one place at one time. Be exact. He knows we have, what, 6 billion people on the earth today? I think something like that. Mm-hmm. He knows the number of hairs on all 6 billion people's heads.
Yep.
By the way, can you fathom that?
No.
We don't even have a computer that can do that.
And yet God knows, and that's something that changes from minute to minute.
Okay? For some people more than others.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people it's easy to keep the count because there ain't many that much up there. But the thing is, when we begin to realize how amazing God is, then there's another problem that happens. It's finding it hard to believe that he really cares for you. Because we aren't anything special in our minds, right? In our minds, we're just common, ordinary, everyday people. But who are we to God?
Well, that's one of the things I am always struggling with, is trying to not be more than I am to God, you know?
Yeah.
You try to make yourself more in God's eyes, and you're not.
But who are you to him? Listen.
I'm a child. I'm a creation.
We are his sons and daughters. Yeah. Let me ask you, how do you feel about your sons and your daughters?
I can imagine how much more he loves us.
And we love imperfectly. He loves perfectly. So anything that touches us touches him. That's how he sees us. And he knows our faults and our weaknesses and our shortcomings, and yet he loves us anyway. And he wants a relationship with us. And to have very few of us love even close to perfectly. And to know that he cares about you and everything that's going on in your life, he knows everything that's happening, and he says, I'll take and I'll turn anything that doesn't seem to be good and turn it around for your good, because I love you and we are his children. When we have him become our God and our Lord and our Savior, we become his children, and he treats us like his children. Because he loves us. So, to me, especially these first few verses are a warning to us, be careful about anybody that tries, or anything that tries to get you to bring me down to your level, because I'm God, I'm not limited like you are.
Yeah.
And yet he doesn't look down on us. He loves us. He made us. Here's an interesting statement that I have made a few times recently that really is amazing. Why did God make man? He wanted somebody to love. So God made us so he could love us. Does that give you any perspective of how God sees us? He made us so he could love us.
I would love to have heard the conversations that Adam and God had before everything went upside down.
Yeah, before sin.
Cool?
Wow. Oh, I'm sure we're just astounding. I you know, and yet realize the truth that God made you because he wants to love you and have a relationship with you. And we don't need him to come down to our level. We need to love him for who he really is. Because how amazing to have a relationship with a God like our God. So, don't try to bring him down by making having other gods or making images. Don't try to bring him down. Okay? Last one.
You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me.
Okay, so he said, why does he not want us to bow down? He says he's jealous. When he talks about jealous, what is he talking about?
Jealousy with man and woman is a distrust thing. But
That's
not what he is, no.
What is he saying? You are special to me, is what he's saying. And I love you so much. Okay, I love you so much that I get upset when anybody adversely affects you, you and I's relationship, because he values having a relationship with us. So he's saying, listen, I am jealous because you're mine, and I love you, and I made you to have a relationship with you, so be careful because I don't want anything to take you and I out of having a relationship. And so don't bow down to any false idol. Okay? And by the way, he tells us there is a generational curse for them who reject God. And so he says, yeah, that can go on for the third or fourth generation.
Just so hurting your kids.
And one of the things that in helping getting our life back in order, it's really important to break those curses that are associated with generational sin. Okay? When you see a generation after generation become alcoholics, there's probably a spirit behind that. And so what do we need to do? We need to go and break that curse that with the authority God has given us and stand against that curse, that spirit that's driving them, okay? Because God says, hey, it can last for the three and four generations. So what you're struggling with may not have anything really to do with you. It has to do with what had the spirit that was driving your parents, okay? So it's affecting you. So we can break that curse off ourselves. We don't, and that's one of the things like Angel does with her groups and stuff, is help people break the curses off themselves that are causing them to behave the way they behave because of what affected them when they were conceived and when they were being raised by the spirits of darkness that were driving the parents. Mm-hmm. So, God wants to set us free. And so if we have anything we realize is driving us, and we say, oh my goodness, look at that. You know, this is the third generation that's had a problem with alcohol. Let's break the spirit off from that so that that spirit loses any place in our life.
Well, my family is an example of that. I mean, all back in my family and a lot of my relatives up north still are very, very, a lot of drinking. And my dad was a severe alcoholic for years. He drank a lot.
Wow.
And, I mean, he was functioning, but he was severe. And when he'd go down to the bar up in Roberts, Wisconsin, he'd take me there when I was a little kid and put me on a stool, and I'd be sitting there drinking soda and sitting in the bar with him drinking. Yeah. And God let me go through quite a bit of the ugly of that stuff as I got older. And then he got a hold of me somehow. I don't know how. don't want to try and explain it because I can't.
Yeah.
But he's taken that taste away from me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That he can set us free from that curse. So it's really important when we see something like that functioning in our lives that's going from generation to generation, it's important you take and break that curse in your life or the life of those around you, because you realize there's a spirit behind that, and God has given us authority to stand against, those spirits.
I'm going to have to hang up on that.
So it's important we realize, he says, yes, there can be a spirit driving you. Pay attention to it when you see, you know, sinful things being passed down from generation to generation.
Yep.
Let's deal with that and be set free so that spirit doesn't touch the next generation. That's why, by the way, he doesn't want us worshiping any false gods, because we give that spirit a place. And if we give that spirit, and that's what's happened with your daughter right now, that spirit's gotten a place somehow. And how it got that place, we don't have to fully understand.
Yeah.
we just see the fruit up.
Yeah.
And all we do is stand against that. And that's why I said the Lord rebuke you, because God can rebuke that spirit that's trying to destroy her.
Yeah.
So, and that's why he doesn't want us to bow down. He's not jealous because he's insecure. He's insecure and needs your love. He doesn't need your love. He made you so he can love you. Now, does he want to have a relationship with you? Yes, he does. But he didn't make you to get something from you. He made you to give you love. So he can love you and enjoy you. So when we realize that, God's not jealous out of insecurity. And that's what you were saying.
Nope.
It's not out of insecurity. Generally, if we're jealous against our mate, it's because we're insecure, don't feel good enough, and can't believe that they would choose us. So that spirit begins to work in us, and before long, you know, destroys a marriage and chokes a marriage to death.
Yeah.
But it's a spirit driving. It's a jealousy, which is an ungodly spirit, that's driving that spirit. So, but if we're struggling with that kind of thing, it's important we deal with it. We don't make peace with it.
Yeah.
Or accept it. Let's go on.
See. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers, I missed.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're almost there.
Iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
By the way, when he says thousands, what's he referring to? Of generations.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the curse is really short-lived. Okay? But God's love is forever.
Well, I'm kind of surprised the curse stops at the third and fourth generation, truthfully.
Yeah. But when you begin to realize, oh my goodness, but his love goes on for the thousands, okay, of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, let's go on.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
Okay. Using God's name in vain. In our culture, it is a problem even in the church. Because there's a lot of people that have accepted Christ and yet not broken those things that need to be dealt with in our lives. Because when we use God's name in vain, what does that mean? What does that look like?
There's more than one way, but using it as a curse word for one.
Yeah, one way. Anytime we use his name when we are not talking about or to him,
mm-hmm.
if we use his name, that's using his name in vain.
In vain, yeah.
Okay? So if we aren't talking about him or to him, and unfortunately in the church today, it grieves my heart because I hear Christians saying, oh my God, and they aren't talking to God at all.
Yeah.
It's just a slang thing that mm-hmm. they developed when they were in the world or around worldly people, and they haven't broken that unhealthy way. Because God says, when you do that, it's going to have a consequence that goes with it. Mm-hmm. And here's my belief. When God deals with them about doing it and they don't break that habit, when they cry out to God, God will not respond to them.
Mm.
He doesn't say that. That's the gospel according to Roy McKinney. But I believe that's a consequence of saying, when you use his name in vain, he says, hey, you don't have a reference for me. So you lose that place and that closeness that you have because you take him for granted and don't reverence him. And I believe that when you call out, God will challenge you and begin to deal with your taking his name in vain.
And you would have to repent and...
Pardon?
Then you'd have to repent and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's it. Well, it's important we do.
Yeah.
And once again, ask God to forgive us, but God say, God, set me free from disrespecting you.
Yes.
So I can stop
going
back to you and asking for forgiveness again.
Yeah.
I mean, there is.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the church today, unfortunately, even in this church, that take God's name in vain,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that it's it grieves God's heart that you would use his name loosely.
Okay.
It grieves his heart that you would use his name loosely. When I was in construction, I worked with my guy.
Oh boy.
I was out there with them. When a guy would come and they would use God's name in vain, I would say, "What?" They said, "What are you saying what for?" I said, "Do you realize that God's a person? And you're talking about God Almighty when you use that name.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if he answered you?" And I did that to help them become aware. They're talking about a person who's real.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're irreverencing the one who loves them most. And we need to realize that's what we're doing so we can repent. We're doing it. So, he doesn't tell us the consequence, but my thing is, it would seem to me that he's saying, listen, when you don't reverence my name, when you call out on my name, I will deal with you.
When we're talking about just anything, talking, period, besides taking God's name in, he makes it clear that idle words will answer for the idle words that we speak.
Especially using his name in vain. Exactly. Because as believers, he gives us the right to use his name against demon spirits, or when we ask for something from him, he gives us the right to use his name. If we use it not talking about him or to him, we are disrespecting the use of his name. And I don't know, it could be, the consequence could be, God just not answering you, saying, I'm not going to answer you, not because I'm upset, but because I want to get your attention because you're keeping us from having the kind of relationship that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we don't know, like I say, who knows exactly what the consequence is, except for the next thing I want to talk about ties into this. The first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. It's all about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I want to tell you things that block us from having the kind of relationship I want to have with you. And basically, he's saying, I wanted to tell you how to have the quality relationship I want to have with you because I made you because I want to love you.
Yeah.
And he loved us so much that he sent his son. By the way, it says in Revelation that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth. So basically, God knew before he created the heavens and the earth that his son would have to come and die. Showing the maximum love you can have for anybody. And so God made us knowing that we would rebel against him. And the only way for our redemption would be for his son to die. And yet, he did it to show us how much he loves us. Because he wanted to realize, I love you more than anything else. And I'm going to display that by sending my son to die for you so you can have a relationship with me.
I just wish he would jack me up a little bit more when I'm doing things not the right way. Make it more right in my face and say, you're not doing right. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know.
I believe he will if we'll respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Often we can get so caught up with life that we miss our, just like with the tithing thing we were talking about before, you know, before the study, I was going through the motions. I wasn't actually having a relationship with God concerning my finances because it was only something I did because that's what I did, not because my heart was there.
Yeah.
Okay? And so God is saying, these things will stand in the way of me having the kind of relationship I desire for you. So these are four things that will hinder us from having the kind of relationship I desire. And it's all about relationship. Each one of those have to do with our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, these are things that will block us having the kind of relationship I want with you. So, it's a good reminder. And he gives us, the other thing that I thought of, and I thought of later this afternoon while I was praying and meditating on our study tonight. It's interesting that most of the stuff that he talks about here is, he addresses it from a negative point of view. Don't do this. Rather than saying, do this. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I had never thought of that before. But most all of them are, don't do this. But I believe he's saying that. He's saying, because this thing will block us being able to have the relationship that I want to have with you. So he's doing it for us, not for him. Not because he's insecure, not because all that kind of stuff. He's saying, these things will block us from having the kind of relationship I want. So don't do them.
Well, he wants you to grow and learn. And if he...
Well, he wants you to have the maximum relationship he can have with you, because he made you to love you. And he wants a relationship with us, and these things will come between us and God. And so he says, here's four things I don't want you to do that they will block my relationship with you. Interesting. Anybody see anything else? It's 25 after.
Oh, okay. That's fine. So okay.
I just find it interesting that God is telling us how to have a relationship with us, and the blockers, things that will block our relationship with him, saying, please don't allow these things to come between you and me. Because we have a free will, we can do those things, but it will separate us from him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly it. He made us so he could love us, and he wants us to love us, love him willingly.
Well,
and
it isn't love if you don't do it willingly.
Well, that's what I mean.
And he
wants us to. Yeah.
So when we read that using his name in vain grieves him, it's really important we realize, oh my goodness, I do not want me using his name wrongly,
mm-hmm,
to keep me from having a relationship with him. So, God, will you help me to stop using his name in vain? Because, God, I want to have the maximum relationship I can have with you.
Definitely.
Yes. So it's cool because he's simply telling us four things that will block having us have a relationship with him. And we should not do them so that it doesn't come between him and us. All right?
Yeah, awesome.
Well, it's a good reminder for us to look at and say, am I doing any of these things? Am I letting them, anything, come between God and my relationship?
Do I need to do the recap for the ties? Because when I'm working on Sundays, I'm not doing my ties, and it's like, you know, so that way I can do them when I'm not working. So I don't have to wait until I come in to, you know, come in Saturday night, or whenever I do come in here to, you know, go ahead and do my ties.
Yeah, I've been doing them on the website, but now they've got that thing up there on the wall, that paper next to the box up there.
Yeah,
it's got that QR code. And it shows you how to do it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I just do take a picture of that with my phone,
exactly,
right?
And it'll take you to that.
She tells you, if you read the paper, the process. Yeah. If you have a problem, call Angel. She'll help you set it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you'll set up your own account with them. Okay. That's what will happen.
And then I would just transfer money from my checking account to that account. Okay.
And it costs you something like 0.3% or really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple dollars is what
it costs. Yeah, it's not like I would have to do it every single time. Just the weeks that I'm not here, that I can still do my tithes.
I usually give a little bit more than my tithes anyway, so I don't really worry about that.
Well, because God said, tithe and offering.
Exactly. So.
Well, as we grow in our relationship with God, we will love people, and we will want to bless people, and so therefore, we're going to give offerings by blessing people when God tells us to help somebody or to bless somebody or whatever. We're going to give offerings anyway. It's just part of our giving, because we're going to take on the likeness of Christ, and God loves. So what will we do? We will love. Okay. And so when we do love and do it well, it's only because God is at work in us.
Yeah.
Because our carnal nature is selfish. And tithing, by the way, really breaks part of that selfishness about it being all about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for a long time.
Yes, some people have a real hard time. Some people, it's amazing. I know some people have problems in other areas, but tithing was never a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it breaks something in us. When we give, it deals with our selfishness. Okay? So when we give to God, it deals with our selfishness and breaks that spirit of mammon that wants to rule our life to where it's all about me.
So do we do 10% of what we have in our account?
Well, of our increase.
Our increase.
That's what it is, 10% of your increase. So if your check is, $200, you tithe on $200, and that's what you tithe on. And some people, and as you grow in your relationship with God, you give offerings, whether you support missionaries or even what you're doing in your home, is loving and serving people, and you give, it costs you money to do that.
Yeah.
That's part of your offering. It doesn't necessarily come to the church.
But it's not the tithe. Yeah, it doesn't come to the church.
I believe the tithe is to support the church. The offering is anything over and above that God speaks to you about.
Yeah.
Okay, whether it's helping with a missionary or doing something for the boxes that we give out, or even God may tell you to bless somebody with $5 you don't even know what for.
Yeah.
And when you do that, to me, that becomes part of your offering.
Offering.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I say you can give your offering wherever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people prefer to give it to us because we're supporting missionaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we take 10% of the money that comes in, and we support missions with that.
Yeah.
So 10% of what you give us, we put towards supporting missionaries. We support the pregnancy center and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we tithe on the income from the church.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we're tithing too. The church.
Yeah.
My thing is, if we should tithe personally, we should tithe as a church too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so we are building the kingdom of God, and it breaks any stinginess that's in us as a church.
Yeah.
Because you can have a stingy heart even as a church, and you don't let God deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing breaks that.
That's the one stigma of Christendom, and that really bothers me is that they're all much money, and it's like, in some ways it's true, and I feel bad about it because it's not the way God intended it.
Well, my thing is, I don't want your money. If you're going to give it to me, you need to leave it in your pocket, because if you give it to me, I can't reward you, but God can. So I want you to do it between you and God. Because I know what will happen. God says, I will break the spirit of mammon off your money, and it will do a lot more after you give 10%. It will do more than all the amount would have done, because I will bless you too. And so he breaks a curse off the money, and he blesses us as well. So I want people to tithe because God tells them to, saying, I will bless your life, I will bless your finances. And my brother Robert, who's a multimillionaire, okay, he wants people to give. You know why? Because God says it's his, and when you don't, you're stealing. It affects your relationship with God.
Yeah.
More than that, if you'll do it God's way, he says he will bless you. So he wants you to be blessed. So his thing is, God has blessed me mightily, and I'll tell you why. Because he was faithful to tithe and give. By the way, he gave too.
Yeah.
Robert worked for me one time. At one point, his big relationship.